Now, when we started this in Sweden in 1975, you know, it wasn't that, you know, we were going to do this to be bad. I mean, politicians and some people actually believed this was going to do good. This was going to put Sweden in the forefront of all nations. And you can read in some political documents from the 70s what they saw. They saw that building out a comprehensive daycare system was going to give greater gender equality, better child social development, better child academic development, getting children better prepared for school. It would give greater adult life satisfaction as they could be employed rather than be at home in the family. And being at home in the family in Sweden is despised, so what are you going to do at home with nothing to do? And there is the joke of saying, you know, oh, you want women to be chained to their stoves. You know, that's an expression used in Sweden. And what our government, our Prime Minister, our Minister of Finance talks very hard about today in our center-right government is the work policy. The work policy. Everyone should have a job. Everyone should work. We have to discourage women from working part-time and make sure they work full-time to give them their freedom. This is actually the words of our Minister of Finance two months ago. So the culture is very extreme in this. Now, let's get to the actual family outcomes. And all what I'm presenting here is official statistics or big surveys that are sponsored by the... It's all very reliable sources. The first one is that we've seen a strong decrease in psychological health in youth during the last 25 years. This has been put forth in a big government study. And several government institutions have checked up statistics on this. You will see local research done by health professionals. It is something that is being acknowledged. It's not something that is questioned. It's only how to interpret it that you can see some creative ways of trying to say this. I'll tell you in a moment here exactly some of the details of this. The development in Sweden is actually worse than in 11 comparable European countries. The psychological health of Swedish youth is decreasing at a faster rate than in 11 comparable European countries, being Finland, Denmark, Norway, Hungary, Switzerland, Austria, Belgium, Wales, Spain, and Scotland. And what is this about? Well, it's mild psychological problems and psychosomatic disorders like weakly headache, stomach aches, worries, anxieties, and a general feeling of not managing very well. That might not sound that alarming, but if you look at the more serious ones like depression, you will see that there are small numbers, but they are increasing. This form of mild psychological health affects 30% of all girls in Sweden around the age of 15. So it's a huge, it's an increase in 25 years from 9% to 30%. Boys is not as strong there. On the other hand, you can see that boys cause trouble in other ways. They do not get psychological health. I mean, they get disruptive and they get violent in other ways. And of course, this is hard to explain here in Canada, but when you live in Sweden, you see daily, you understand exactly what's behind these statistics. I see these people when I run workshops for managers on presentation technique. You will see typically a young woman in her 25-30s. She never smiles. And when you're starting to do some exercises, she will want to talk to you and she will talk and open oceans of self-doubt, lack of self-esteem, and a lot of things you really just feel sorry for them. And you wonder, how could this person get to university and get a good job? Well, women do. Women who have psychological problems or problems with attachment, they do manage. The men don't. They become the truck drivers, or in Sweden, the unemployed ones. We've got a very high rate of unemployment. I could give you example over this. The difficult thing here is like many of these don't have a diagnosticable psychological disease, but they are definitely not living up to their potential. And you can see lots and lots of this. You have very high levels of early retirement for young people in Sweden. And we have a very high level of young people unemployment. Now the irony is this, right? One of the reasons cited for this increase, there are two reasons given from official sources. One man of the Swedish Public Health Institute says, the reason for this is probably that young people in Sweden have so many choices today. Second reason given by another institution is it must be about young people unemployment for 15-year-olds. Now the irony is this, that you know, we force mothers and parents to go out to work and leaving young people unemployed. And rather than seeing that actually smaller children need the possibility to be with their children and be home, and older youngsters who may be 16, 18, 20, they need to get a job to get in society, we've twisted it around. And no one, of course, is wanting to verbalize how these things are connected. So this is alarming, and when I go to the seminars given by Swedish public authorities on this, they will say, yes, we are concerned about this. Yes, this is alarming. Yes, we don't know what to do about it. Do you know why the reason is? We don't know. I'm suggesting, could it have to do with early daycare? Ask the question. They say, we don't know. We have discipline problems and poor results in schools. You know from the PISA report that Sweden has gone from a top position about 30 years ago, where we were among the best in the world. Today we're only average, and we're actually below average in mathematics, which daycare was claimed to make better. We also have severe discipline problems, and the TIMSS study, T-I-M-M-S, show that the order in Swedish classroom is among the worst in Europe. We talk about tardiness, about truancy, about disruptive behavior and bad language in classrooms. It's among the worst in Europe, reported by Swedish headmasters. And this is also very obvious when you live in Sweden. We have a reality show where a professional teacher, a really good teacher, comes into a problem school to try to steer it up. And when you see the environments from inside school, I mean, you're terrified. And this is not only me. This is going out today into the Swedish general public. They are terrified at what they're seeing happening in school. And you can see a small general protest movement about the quality in Swedish schools. Now, of course, those of us with a little more psychological understanding realize that it's not only schools, it's lack of parents, and it's actually problems that started already at the age of one with too little parents and too much daycare. We have high rates of sick leave among women. This is a study done in the Swedish Medical Journal, a peer-reviewed journal, with the headline, "Who can work until 65 years of age?" And the subtitle, not the Swedish women. And these are the Swedish women who are in their 50s and who show a very high rate of sick leave and early retirement in their 50s, and many go on early retirement from the age of 55. Now, the irony is this, we created this whole system to partially get women to do more work. Now, if we'd let those women or those parents stay at home to be with the children for 10 years, they could probably work till 65, maybe till 70. But we're forcing them to have children and do work at the same time, and they're burnt out by the age of 55, to put it bluntly. And basically, the only thing that pioneering Swedish families are asking for, please don't make us do it at the same time. We'll be happy to work when our children have gotten older, but give us a chance to be with our children when they're small. We'll be happy to work later on. Daycare staff top our sick leave statistics. And that's just a fact. That's also shown there. And they are the ones who have a lot of long-term sick leave. And as the quality of... Okay, I get to that. We have deteriorating parental abilities, even middle class. There's been an EU-sponsored study done by a Swedish researcher who has, through various interviews, found out the state of Swedish parenthood. And she writes in her conclusions like this: the public offer of full child daycare seems to make many parents lose grip of their own responsibility. They believe, or want to believe, that their children are fostered by preschool and school, and they believe that the experts on their children are to be found there. And she says that it's obvious from a psychological perspective that preschool and school cannot fill the gaps caused by lack of time and trust in parenthood from the parents. And again, if you live in Sweden, this quickly also becomes apparent. You will see many Swedish parents who, yes, they do love their children, and the function they're having is like more like a coordinator of activities. They get the children up in the morning, get them to daycare or to the before school activity. They go to school, they come back, they do the after school activity, the parents pick them up, they have dinner, and then they go to an activity in the evening. Parents become an organizer of activities rather than a parent having a relationship with their child. And when the child comes into their teens, there are the teenage problems we know from the Western world. They are certainly not less in Sweden. And now the newspapers write, where are the parents? Well, Sweden is a country where parents were discouraged at the age of one from taking care of their children. How are they expected to suddenly start at the age of 13 when the problems come? Sorry for the sarcasm and the hard words, but living in Sweden is very frustrating when you're a home parent today. The quality in Swedish daycare is deteriorating. Those of you who read the National Post article know of a recent radio interview there. And we actually have three Swedish experts who wrote a book published 2 years ago. The title would be Preschool for the Smallest Children, for Good and for Bad. And this is a Swedish psychiatrist, a Swedish educator specialist, and a Swedish preschool teacher joined together. And their conclusion is basically that since the beginning of the 90s, the quality of Swedish preschools has gone so bad today that Sweden cannot be said to have high-quality daycare anymore, in spite of $20,000 per child a year. They also say that the quality is so low that some sensitive children will be hurt by impeded in their development by going to long hours of daycare in early ages. And this is also something that is quite known in Sweden now. I'll show you the groups in a moment. The total fertility rate, well, yes, we're high in Europe, but one should note that we're low among the Nordic countries. Both Finland and Norway have higher fertility rates than Sweden. Both Norway and Finland do have a home care allowance. You look at Finland, have a much stronger family culture, and you have much fewer small children in daycare in Finland. They also have better school results. The Swedish labor market is among the most gender segregated in the world. What I understand from the statistics, you'll find that in America you have a pretty high percentage of women as managers in companies. It's very low in Sweden. In Sweden, basically, women work in daycare, in schools, and in healthcare. Men work in higher administrative positions and in business. And it's very segregated, and in a way, you could say, if you wanted to be a bit blunt, that we have transformed home mothers into state mothers taking care on a state level rather than at a home level. And of course, I think here's where you see the ambivalence in Swedish women. You know, why should I work in the state caring for lots of people with very little control and a lot of political ideology coming upwards through my boss, where I could be at home and be totally in charge of my own home, my own children, and grow from there? And which I mentioned in my book, there's of course lots of anecdotal studies and other showing that women may actually grow more from being 10 years at home with their own children than they would be working at a daycare center at a school. And actually be more attractive to the labor market once they come out. And there's lots and lots of evidence of that. So just quickly, quality of Swedish daycare. 1/5 of all the daycare groups today are more than 21 children. For the under threes, they're never below 10 children. They're often 14 and sometimes 17 children. You will have 17 children with three carers. Some care may be sick. There are moments, there are hours in Swedish daycare where one person is left with 17 children under three. 3 to 5 year olds can be upwards 30 children. The child is staff ratio is slightly above 5.1, but 7.1 in my municipality exists, and even 10.1 exists. In my municipality, the local government decided to build a music hall. It costs a lot of money, and we have a 7-to-1 ratio. So that's where you see what child care is going to be compared with. It's obvious that parents are willing to sacrifice a lot more for their children than politicians are. There's no regulation in Sweden of group sizes or child staff ratios. Both are continuously increasing all the time, and our politicians are talking about that we have to find other quality measures than group size and child to staff ratio. Now ask any psychologist, it'll tell you that is quality. A traditional focus on play and now more and more being divergent to learning and pedagogics, which is of course a way of trying to hide the fact that you've got bigger and bigger groups. Now, for the lack of causal, the possible causal explanations here is one knows from psychology and neurobiology that lack of adult attachment in infants can create chronically low thresholds of stress through life. And when you look at the sick leaves, especially of young women in Sweden, you absolutely have the sense that there are lots and lots of young people in Sweden who have this problem. They easily get stressed. They cannot manage the way. The separation at early year was too much for some of them. You have Canadian psychologist Dr. Gordon Neufeld, who has coined the expression peer orientation and says that large exposure to big groups of peers can impede child maturation because peers cannot bring up children. You have to have an adult to do that. Only an adult can provide that unconditional love for a child to grow in and that emotional maturity. Peers cannot. And yet you'll see already in daycare how the children play together and three staff stand and talk to one another. No? It's actually encouraged. It becomes easier to do it that way, to get the children involved with one another. And when you look at teenagers in Sweden, it's very obvious that they gang together in groups, not always destructive, but they are actually bringing up, you have in a way, the Lord of the Flies scenario quite strong in Sweden. And this leads to a lot of problems in learning, bullying, gangs, flatlining of culture, promiscuity, because young people are making up their own rules. And of course, if for parents, this separation, parents in Sweden are not happy about it. So you could expect from that they get more sick because they're more stressed. And yes, they do. The statistics show this. And it's obvious also that Swedish parents do not have the same sense of responsibility. They trust the daycare system and the school system to foster their children. Don't have so much time left, but I'm going to look on a few of these. There's very little political debate about this in Sweden because no one wants to wake up the guilt feelings in parents. No paper selling issues want to do this. And there seems to be in Swedish media a kind of an agreement about that daycare is good. We should support it, just like immigration is good. And daycares claim to be a part of Swedish school. Like I told you, we're talking about that every child has the right to daycare. Home care and housewives are bullied in the media. Families becoming politically incorrect. Civil society is dying. And we're having a politicized discussion on child rearing. This has enormous implications. Yesterday I got a mail from someone, there's been a state-sponsored study on how to do sex education in preschool. Well, you know, sex is innocent, right? It's okay with sex, right? As long as you use contraceptives, and it's okay as long as you know, both want it. And young people play these games. It's very important that it's innocent. We have sex education schemes for young people in Sweden, which even secular and morally liberal in Sweden find this is just too much. Being given to 12-year-olds, which is... Well, you know, it's you can't even talk about it. This is what you see in politics. You see, when politics takes over family, everything becomes a political decision, how to do it. It's not family anymore. It's politics. And you have politicians who do not have connections necessarily with their children, and they're inventing things that they think sound good. The great majority of Swedes want to have more time. All studies show that between 60 and 80% of Swedes would like to have the possibility to be at home with their children for at least up to 3 or 4 years. And this is also in young mothers. A recent study showed this that even in young 25, 26-year-olds see this, and they think that being a housewife, you know, or a home mother is something that looks attractive to them. Of course, many of these have looked at their own mothers, trying to juggle together work and children and seen that you have to choose if you're going to have a good life. So I'm just going to do these conclusions here quickly before I finish for questions. You can definitely say that Swedish family policies have led to negative developmental outcomes for children, parents and family. That's just there. There's no fact of arguing that. You could try and argue the reasons or otherwise, but if you look into the knowledge in psychology, psychiatry and neuroscience today, there's no way of getting away from that it has had an impact, definitely. Swedish family policies are not emotionally sustainable, maybe not even democratically sustainable, as we can't talk about it in the media. We can't have an open discussion about it. The basic reason for this negative developments could be said that individual childcare in Sweden has become a state political decision based on political ideology rather than a parental decision based on parents' perception of the individual needs of the child. I think this is maybe the most important conclusion to see. This is where it goes when parents lose touch of their children on kind of any mass scale. You would have to really check out the Swedish model before anyone attempts to copy this. And I cannot imagine any study today showing that this was a success. It was rather a failure, maybe one of the biggest social failures in the history of mankind. It's a grand experiment. We have never before in history been able to make these big experiments. It's an experiment. Every society has to protect parental rights and reasonable possibilities to make their own choice about children, and without the involvement of government. So I'm thinking for Canada, you know, you must have a government which gives the message, you know, whatever care you choose is okay, you know. We'll support whatever it is. You want to do home care, wonderful, you know. There are other forms too, but that has to be there. Parental instincts have to be what guides the care for the children. And once that's gone, it's gone, and you're into a dangerous negative flow. And basically, today, in today's world, the institution of family needs support and respect from society and government. Family is the key institution for close relationships in the world today. And that's especially in today's world, which is so chaotic, which has got so many temptations in the digital world and everything. Family is actually more important than ever. Some people talk about that we're becoming individuals today, and we're becoming independent and individual. Yes, but where is a mature individual created? In family. Family is required to create a mature individual. This is something that psychology knows today, and the close emotional relationships. So, thank you for your attention, and I'm pleased to have any questions.